our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks on courtship. I told the story of John and Betty Stamm, who were great models to me as a child, as a young woman. I had met Betty Scott Stamm when she was just Betty Scott. When I was only 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, I think, she came to our house on her way to China as a missionary. I remember hearing when I was 8 years old how Betty and John had been captured by Chinese communists and had been beheaded. That made a very deep impression on my 8-year-old mind of what discipleship is about. And then, years later, I came across the biography of John and Betty Stamm called The Triumph of John and Betty Stamm, written by Geraldine Taylor. And I read you some of that story. Now I want to give you another more recent example of a couple who did it right. I had this letter and I thought, what could be more appropriate, since it's very difficult for people to believe that a woman my age can possibly sympathize with people of younger generations. I do sympathize. I think I understand pretty well. I've been where you are, longing for marriage, you single women. I didn't think that there was a chance that I was ever going to get married. And I think my memory is pretty clear on that, but I won't expect you to believe just me. I want to give you as many supports to what I'm saying as I can possibly find, and this letter was certainly one of them. She says, I was able to hear most of the program you recorded with Dr. Dobson on Focus on the Family. I listened with mixed feelings at the message you and Dr. Dobson were communicating. I am very thankful for your open, honest, and straight biblical stand on premarital sexual relationships. I am also very saddened when I hear the kinds of scenarios that Dr. Dobson gave and sense the turmoil that young and not so young Christian people are going through over what should be clear-cut moral issues. The scenario that stimulated me to write to you was the one about a 30-year-old woman who is struggling with wanting to feel loved and have a committed marriage relationship and experience the joy of a sexual relationship. She said that there seems to be no one on the horizon, and she will probably live out the rest of her life unfulfilled in these desires. Oh, how I can sympathize with her. Your reply to her to trust in our loving, sovereign God who wants to fill us with joy and bliss was exactly what she needs to fill her mind with over and over and over. And let me put in a parenthesis here that I do get letters from people who say, don't tell me to just trust God. Well, that's the only way. And I'm going to keep on telling you and to fill your mind with God's love. To carry on with this letter, I worked as a director of Christian education and youth for 5 years, and in discipling several teenage girls, had many occasions to talk with them about dating, marriage, and sex. Whenever I would talk to them about how to stay out of bed with a guy by not giving in to any part of an intimate physical relationship, they would look at me like I just didn't understand because I was 24 and not dating anyone. I assured them that I had been where they were, and that I had asked more than one guy to drive me straight home because I would not go and park with him. I also knew what it was to embrace a guy too long, just because it felt good and stirred up wonderful feelings in me. However, I was committed to Jesus Christ, and I was going to take the risk and believe that His promises to meet my needs and fill me with joy and abundant living, with or without a husband, were true. Therefore, I could delight myself in the Lord and leave the desires of my heart up to God, since He promised to give them to me. I had always wanted to be married, but was never willing to compromise God's standards by going out and looking for a husband. The men are supposed to be the wooers, you know, you gentlemen who are listening to me. It's your responsibility to move toward marriage. We women have one responsibility, and that is to wait. Wait on the Lord. The letter goes on, like you had mentioned in your experiences, I had determined not to seek a husband. I had given that desire to God, and if he wanted me to be married, it was his responsibility to arrange it. By ages 28, 29, and 30, I had pretty much determined that I would serve the Lord single the rest of my life. I didn't like that option, and I wrestled with God every time I sat through a wedding ceremony or saw a newborn baby. But there was no one on the horizon, and I wasn't going to compromise my convictions. All this time, I was wondering if what I was telling other girls about what honored God in a dating relationship, I would be able to stick with if I was really deeply in love with a man. They also wondered the same thing. I knew what was right, but I didn't trust my emotions. Through God-arranged circumstances, midway through my 30th year, I met the man I was to marry just a year later. Not that it is a surprise to anyone who has tasted, but God is good and faithful to all his promises. A real delight and strength in our marriage of 7 wonderful months, when she wrote this letter, she'd been married 7 months, is the respect we built into our relationship while dating. We both had the same convictions of preserving not only our virginity, but our chastity, so that there would be no regrets if we got married or if we didn't. The first time we held hands was literally one day before he asked me to marry him. Our first kiss was right after he proposed to me. And by the way, if anybody has just tuned in and they hear Elizabeth Elliot's voice and they're saying, there she goes telling that story of her and Jim Elliot again, it's not the story of Jim Elliot this time, written by a woman who's been married 7 months when she wrote the letter. She says, our first kiss was right after he proposed to me. Then during our 3-month engagement, we were extremely careful. And 2 weeks before our marriage, we were even more determined to make our honeymoon full of wonderful surprises. So we backed off even more. Consequently, our honeymoon was a time of great joy and relaxation with no guilt whatsoever. We often thank God for the grace he gave us to please him in our dating and engagement. And that same grace is available to everyone who asks and puts obedience before feelings. I'm writing this lengthy letter to encourage you in the opportunities you have as a widely known and respected Christian woman. Keep speaking out for truth. Even when people's dilemmas tear at our hearts, truth with mercy is what they really need. Truth with mercy. I'm convinced that that's what you need too. And that's why I do give out truth, which is sometimes seemingly hard. Maybe I come across as harsh at times. I don't mean to. I really want you to know that my heart goes out to you, that I sympathize with you. I read your letters. I pray over them. I pray that, not daily but often, that God will arouse the young Christian men to their responsibility to be husbands and fathers. I know 25-year-olds, 30-year-olds that have never even thought of the fact that they have a responsibility to God to be husbands and fathers, unless God has led them to be single. And I don't know very many men that would say that God has given them the gift of singleness. That's a rare thing. But are you moving in the direction of marriage? Well, I'm hoping that the guidelines that I'm giving you will preserve you from mistakes and disasters. I want to emphasize that your commitment must be to Jesus Christ first and foremost. Much more important than a commitment to a man or a woman. Whose way do you want? You have to decide that question. Lent is a good time to think about whose way do I want. Take time off. Which way do you think is likely to lead to the greatest happiness? In your heart of hearts, do you believe I'm right in what I'm telling you? I hope that you realize that I'm speaking the truth, and I hope, by the grace of God, that I'm speaking the truth with mercy. I understand how immense, and humanly speaking, irresistible, today's pressures are. To you parents, make sure your children understand that you understand. But at the same time, hold before them the way of obedience and peace. Teach them to ask for and to expect God's holding power. You know, Jesus once said, "You have not because you ask not." Do you not have the power to do without sexual activity? Maybe you've never asked. Do you not believe that God can lead you to the right husband or the right wife? I shouldn't say lead you to the right husband. I should say lead the right husband to you, because the men are supposed to do the wooing. Can God lead you, men, to the right wife? Have you ever asked Him to? If you asked, was it in a half-hearted way, or did you really expect that He would guide you? Remember Isaiah 50, verse 7. "The Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.